Well, if you were here last week, you heard this. If you weren't, maybe listen to it by live stream. But I was on my way to church, and I just want to repeat this because it was interesting. My pastor at the Holy Ghost meetings this week, I hadn't been talking to him, didn't know what he was being talked about 2020. And the word of the Lord came to me on the way to church last week as I was admiring all the deer and the turkeys in all the fields on the way to church. You know, it was kind of, you know, a warmer morning, and no doubt they were out there enjoying the thaw and you know, things that weren't covered in snow and getting ready for the winter. And I just was watching them, you know, and up from my heart, wasn't thinking anything. I was really just kind of being carnal and thinking about, wonder if that guy will let me hunt. Wonder if that place will let me hunt. You know, I was just thinking stupid things like that. And up from my heart came this, that there's a thaw coming in 2020. And the things that have been held back will spring forth, and the result will be great change. Now, that's a word for all of us, amen? That's a word for us to grab onto, and it won't automatically come to pass in your life. You know, my pastor prophesied last year on the eve of 2019 that 2019 would be a year of easy receiving. Well, when he said that, I said, that's for me. I received that. And I'll tell you what, 2019 for the church and for me personally, it was a year of easy receiving. I kept sending him testimonies after testimonies. And he made a statement at the Holy Ghost meetings. He said, those people that grabbed a hold of that reap the benefits of that. Well, in 2020, the word says there's coming a, the word of God said there's coming a thaw. And the things that have been held back will spring forth and result will be great change. Now, I bring that up to keep that in front of you, to keep your faith on that. If you need a thaw, if you need some great change, grab on to it. Praise God. But then Pastor Michael said this at the Holy Ghost meetings. He said that the Lord had been talking to him, maybe didn't give him a specific word for 2020, but was dealing with him about certain things. And one of the things he said, and I was just thinking, man, the Holy Ghost is good, you know. If you're in tune with the Holy Ghost, he's saying the same stuff. But he said it this way, that which has been stagnant, well, you could say things that are frozen are kind of stagnant. He said, will become vibrant. That's what my pastor said. Things that become, in 2020, things that have been stagnant will become vibrant, and that it's a time for new beginnings. Well, your pastor got a word from the Lord that there's a thaw coming, and that's what's been held back will spring forth. How many of you know that thing springing forth? That's change. That's vibrancy. Praise God. And the result will be great change is what he told me, and he said it's a time for new beginnings. All in line. And so grab onto that. You need changes. Things have been held back. Things have been stuck. Things have been like they've always been. Let's make 2020 different. Amen. And it's up to our faith. Praise God. And I want to encourage you before we pray for today's message. On the heels of me saying that, with great change going forward into 2020, remember last week's message and don't ever forget it. And if by chance after last week's message you have picked back up those fears and worries, if you've started to get back into condemnation, you need to go back to last Sunday's message, you need to listen to it again, and you need to redo what you did and get back into the flow. God doesn't want you carrying your cares. God doesn't want you beating yourself up. He wants you blessed. And so His mercies are new every morning. So even if you messed up and did it wrong all week, took back those fears, those worries, those anxieties, that condemnation, His mercies are new today. Get out of here, get home, get on your knees, and get free again. Amen. And if you need your mind renewed to that, about what He says about your you know, condemnation and what He says about fears and worries, listen to that message over and over and over and over again. It'll help you. Amen. Well, Father, we're just so grateful this morning to be here together. Thank you for these precious people that have come out to hear your word. Father, they didn't come to hear man's ideas or man's plans or man's thoughts. Father, we came to hear from you. Now, Father, I'm ready as much as I know to be ready, but I thank you, Lord, I don't rely on what I think I know and what I think I can do, because I know that's not very much anyways. But, Father, I know through you I can do all things, and I know there's an anointing here. So, Father, I thank you that as I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. I'll speak as the oracles of God today. Father, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And, Father, I thank you that we'll go from glory to glory. We'll increase. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. And I thank you the message will be preached with boldness and there'll be lots of utterance from heaven on it. And we'll be changed, Lord, and we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory. Lord, we'll never hijack it or rob it from you. We're not to exalt family church. We're not exalting Pastor Mike Anderson. We're exalting you. You are our answer. You are our help. So help us today. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what I want to talk to you about on the last night of the Holy Ghost meetings in Fredonia. My pastor taught on a subject, and he made mention about something towards the end or middle or end of that service. And when he did, in my heart, the Holy Ghost started talking to me and gave me my marching orders for last night's service and this morning's service. And so I'm excited about it because what I'm going to share with you is a revelation that blessed a man by the name of Brother Hagin, who was the foremost prophet in the land, in pretty much all the world when he was around, and just did so much for God. It changed his life. It changed Dr. Dufresne's life. It changed Pastor Nancy's life, who's living it and preaching it and walking in it now. And it's changed your pastor's life. And it's changed so many other people's lives that have got the revelation, got a hold of it, and will work the word. And so on the last night, he said something, and I want to expound on what he said. That's the direction that the Holy Ghost has us to go today, and it'll be a great blessing to you. Amen? But I need to lay a foundation first. And the reason is because what I'm going to teach you today, not just financially, but we are focusing a little bit on financially, will cause you to prosper in life. And what's interesting is when you mention the word prosperity in church, it is highly criticized, it's highly misunderstood, and a lot of times that's because, no doubt, it's been used and abused by people in very high-profile positions. Amen? But you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because, you know, if I run into a disgruntled employee at Walmart, doesn't mean all the Walmart employees are bad. Doesn't mean the whole store is bad, you know? Hallelujah. You get a bad server at a restaurant, doesn't mean they're all bad, right? You love the food there, but man, I had a bad experience with a server. Well, for me, I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen? Well, same thing with the subject of prosperity, but I want to just lay a quick foundation. Because if you don't think right concerning this, it will leave entrance for the enemy to talk to you about it. And the word always straightens out our thinking. But real quick, what does God say? We're not going to spend a lot of time on this. We're just going to show you a few verses. Go to 3 John 2. This area of prosperity. Because no doubt, if you'll get today's revelation, prosperity will be yours. How do I know? I've lived it. I'm walking in it. I know. I've worked these principles. Brother Hagin was given these principles and lived them. And we'll talk more about that. Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Nancy, praise God. Reverend Greer, the Durants. You know, all the people we'd call heavy hitters around here that are living it and walking in abundant life. Well, the Bible says about prosperity, beloved, I wish above all things. Now, man, when I hear that, my ears perk up. Because he could put a lot of things behind the next word of what he'd wish above anything else. And maybe people would have their own ideas. No doubt, I'm sure religious people would have their own ideas of what God would wish above all else for his kids. But you know what God wishes above all else for his kids? The very first thing he tells you is that you would prosper. Excuse me. That you would prosper. God wants you to prosper. Amen. Do you see it there? It's pretty plain as day to me. Had a gentleman walk in here for, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds. Met me out in the front. He said, Pastor, before I come to your church, I got to know. Are you one of those prosperity preachers? Guilty! Praise God. I am! Yeah. He turned around and walked out. I was like, see, I don't know. I never saw him again, you know. I guess he didn't want prosperity, but then he doesn't want God. And he doesn't want the Bible, because God says, I wish it above everything else that you prosper. Well, let's see what else he says. Go to Psalms 35 and verse 27. Because you got to know that it's okay for you to prosper. Amen. Amen? It's okay for you to prosper. Now, we'll put it in the right context so it doesn't get twisted, but it's okay for you to prosper. Psalms 35, 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yeah? Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has disgruntlement in the prosperity of his servant, which has anger, which has frustration. No. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God delights or is in joy or is excited when you prosper. How many of you are mad when your kids prosper? Oh, I just wish they'd be poor. Oh, I just wish they wouldn't have enough. Oh, I just wish they would struggle. No. I could go on and on. We could be here for a couple hours going to all the places in the Bible that show that your God is a God of prosperity. You go back and you read in Deuteronomy 28, all the blessings for those that followed the law. And these were Old Testament people, weren't even redeemed, born again. And you go in there and you look at how many of those had to do with financial abundance, increase, being well supplied and well taken care of. Why? Because that's who your Father is. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And so, why is it important to know this? Because there's so much misunderstanding. I can't tell how much we get criticized around here because we're a prosperity church. Well, I guess I do understand. People have used and abused it. Misused it, mistreated the doctrine, made it into a get-rich-quick scheme, made it into a selfishness, just name it and claim it, some kind of hocus-pocus type thing. I know that that's true. But can we just be biblical around here? Is that okay? Why would God be interested in us prospering? Well, of course, we're His children, and He wants you prosperous, but there's a greater reason. It's twofold. Number one, so you prosper, for sure. God wants you blessed. He's your daddy. Amen. But second of all, if you're not blessed, the plan of God does not go forward. The plan of God does not get fulfilled in the earth. If you look in the Word of God, all throughout the Bible, going way back to the building of the temple, to Jesus' ministry and the people that followed Him around, to Paul's ministry, to the apostles' ministry, you find one common thing that you see throughout, one common thread throughout the whole thing, is that they needed financial support to do what God said to do, but God always looked to His people to be the supporters. Well, you can't be a supporter of God's kingdom if you're not prosperous. So God, what is the whole prosperity doctrine? It's not to build some lavish, selfish, high-minded, boastful, braggadocious, look-at-me lifestyle. We want to be prosperous first and foremost to be a blessing. That's it. I don't care what other people say about us. Oh, prosperity, this, prosperity, that. Yeah, we're about prosperity. Why? So we can be blessed to be a blessing. And that's my heart, and that should be your heart as well. Amen? And so that's God needs us. God needs us to prosper. And I like to say it this way. People say, well, Pastor Mike, I'm just very simple-minded. I'm a very humble person. I'm okay with just what I have. That's actually false humility, and you're deceived because the church, the plan of God, needs you to get more in your life so you can sow more, so you can be a bigger funder. I know it seems so humble to say, oh, I'm just okay where I'm at. I'm just okay. I don't need any more. You might not need more, but the kingdom needs more. The kingdom needs you to get more, praise God. Hallelujah. It's just the truth. It is just the truth, praise God. And that is the purpose. If we're going to bring Jesus back, part of it's going to be the end time transfer of wealth into the church so we can fund the programs, so we can fund the word to go around the whole world, praise God. You know, this church sowed thousands of dollars into Pastor Nancy Dufresne's ministry so she could be on 100 and some channels in, or 100 and some countries all around the world preaching this word of faith. Our church helped put her on the air. So anything that comes from that ministry, the fruit of that, is from your giving, praise God. We were a part of it. But she's not on TV preaching this word that people don't get very often without finances. This church isn't open without finances. The thing God has in our heart to do without finances. So God needs you to prosper. So I'm asking you, get these principles down in your spirit and act on them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Michael on the last night talked about the ministry of angels, and he made mention of a book that Brother Hagin wrote called How God Taught Me About Prosperity. And when he said that, the Holy Ghost started to impart to me what I'm supposed to share this Saturday or yesterday and today. And so I'm going to be faithful to that. But I'm just telling you, it's a revelation that's changed mighty men and women of God's lives, including your pastor. Praise God. And some of you I know have taken advantage of this and used this and done the word. And it's been a blessing to you. So I want to tell you the principles because God spoke to Brother Hagin, and we'll get to that in a second. But before I get to the principles, before I can even go further, because you're going to hear this and you're like, wow, that sounds really good. I'd like to sign up for that. Isaiah 1:19 must be in your life at first. What is that verse? Willing and obedient, eat the good of the land. Because what I'm going to talk about is prospering and getting to financial prosperity. And we'll see in this that, you know, not all prosperity is financially. If you need a deliverance and you get delivered, that's prosperity. If your kids need a change and there's a change that comes, I consider that prosperity. Increase, praise God. It's not just monetary, but although that's included in some of the things that we're going to focus on here today. What do I mean by you have to have Isaiah 1:19? When it comes to your money, I'm just going to be as flat out bold as I can be and truthful as I can be. If you're not a tither and you don't give offerings, you don't qualify for this. I better say this again because you looked at me funny. If you don't tithe and you don't give offerings, which the Word says to do, you don't qualify for this. The tithe and the offering are the beginning place to biblical prosperity. Why? It gets your money under kingdom authority. It gets you into a place of obedience. And so many people are outside the walls of the Word, outside the boundaries of the Word, wanting these things to work for them, and it's backwards. Remember what we preached on Christmas morning? If you step outside the boundaries of the Word, you're outside of God's area, outside of God's realm. Lot to take in, isn't it? Well, just start tithing. Get your finances in check. Just start giving offerings. Stop listening to the devil and start listening to the Word. Because what I'm going to tell you today sounds really good. And it's worked really well for me in my life. And it will do things for you that will change your whole financial world. Are you ready for it? So God, first of all, in the Word, we see that the Bible says that in the last days, He'll pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, Acts chapter 2. And the result of that outpouring will be gifts of the Spirit, will be dreams, revelations, and visions. And we see throughout the Bible people that have had biblical visions, and I've told you a few of mine. I haven't had a whole lot. But one man that was given to vision, just like Paul was Brother Hagin. And Jesus talked to him personally about this revelation. Now, let me preface this by saying this. This is how you stay safe. We don't go by somebody's vision. We don't go by somebody's personal revelation. We don't go by somebody's word to us. We go by the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. If a vision and revelation, a dream, a visitation from God in the form of an angel, Jesus appearing, if it's legit, it's always going to be backed up by Scripture. Amen. Amen. Be careful. Be careful, Mormons. What? Some teenager found some tablets. And now millions of people are going off some teenager that found some tablets that aren't on the Word of God. That's how cults get started. Didn't say that last night. See, you got me all fired up this morning. Being grumpy yourselves, now I'm grumpy. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but I'm telling the truth. Some of these things come and sow deception in their name and the way they approach. Go ahead. I double dog dare you to look into. I've said this before. I'm waiting for the Holy Ghost to release me. Go in and look at the Jehovah's Witness and what they really believe. Go in and look at the Mormons, what they really believe. Not what they say on TV. Not what they show up at your door and just say at first. Go look at where that's founded from and the root of those things. It's not Christianity, folks. I'm sorry, it isn't. I don't know if you have loved ones that are in it. I'm not down on them, but it's not the truth. Amen. How do we know what truth is? This Bible. Praise God. We've got to stick to it. Amen. So when Brother Hagin says, I have a vision from the Lord. Well, one thing I love about him so much is that he clung so closely to the Bible. I'll give you an example. One time he was telling about a vision that he had, that Jesus appeared to him and started to talk to him about demons and demonic possession and oppression. And while Jesus is talking to him, of course, Brother Hagin would want to hear what he's saying. A little demon came running in the room and stood between Jesus and Brother Hagin and started shouting the words, yakety yak, 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 yakety yak, 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 really loud. Well, Brother Hagin said, I couldn't hear what Jesus was saying, and I sat there and waited for Jesus to do something about the devil, and Jesus just kept on teaching him, and he couldn't hear him. And so Brother Hagin finally got frustrated and said, in the name of Jesus, whatever, knock it off and get out of here. The devil cowered to the ground and scattered out of the room. And then Brother Hagin asked Jesus, he said, Lord, why didn't you do something about that demon? I need to hear what you're saying. You just stood there. You just kept teaching. And Jesus said to him, if you wouldn't have done something about the demon, I couldn't have. And Brother Hagin said, I must have misheard you, Lord. You must mean that you wouldn't do anything. No, Jesus said, if you don't do something about it, I couldn't have. And Brother Hagin said, I don't know that. That's something I've never heard. And Jesus smiled at him and said, there's a lot you don't know, son. And Brother Hagin said to him, Jesus, this is what I love about the man. You read all his books, you hear his messages. Always scripture, scripture, scripture. Brother Hagin said to Jesus, I see you with my eyes. I can see the holes in your hands and in your feet. You're here as plain as day. And I know what you're telling me. You're saying to me that you wouldn't or couldn't do anything about the devil had I. He said, that goes against everything I've ever thought. All my theology, everything, all my doctrine. And he said, Jesus, I can't take you at your word. I need, the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I'm going to need you to show me, because Jesus was establishing a doctrine and saying he couldn't do anything about the devil, that the Christian would have to. And Brother Hagin said, I don't understand that. And Brother Hagin said, for that to be true, you're going to have to show me in the Bible two or three places that teach that. He said, Jesus got a big old grin on his face and said, I'll do you one better and give you four. And he gave him four references in the Bible, and I've taught it before, on how the Word says God's not going to do anything about the devil in your life. He can't. We've been given the authority. Amen? But my point in saying that was something that the Lord taught him, but the Lord gave him scripture to back it up. Praise God. If you're starting to get weird and ooky and spooky revelations and things, and you don't have Bible to back it up, you better seek God and make sure that's from Him. Amen? He's always going to give you scripture to back it up. Why? He is the Word. Hallelujah. So in this vision and in this revelation, the Lord gave Brother Hagin four principles. And what he was talking to him about was his finances. And he said to Brother Hagin, you've been going about getting your needs met all wrong. Now I'm going to read you a portion of that book in a little bit. Story time with Pastor Mike. It's going to be so sweet. And you're going to see in that book that prior to this, Brother Hagin was struggling majorly financially. And guess what? He's out on the road doing God's work, preaching, leaving his family to go minister the gospel, and he's broke as can be until Jesus came and said, I'm going to teach you about your finances. He said, you've been going about it all the wrong way. The way you pray to me about money, he said, it's not scriptural. Now, this is what this service is today. This is a get more skillful service with the Word. Amen. Many Christians love the Lord. Oh, they love Him. And they're sweet. And they praise Him. And they'll serve Him. And their life's hell on earth. Why? They're not skillful with His Word. I said this last night. God is not going to move on your situation because of your tears. Not going to happen. We see it in the Bible, in the book of Numbers. They wept and moaned and groaned. And God didn't move in their situation. God will move when somebody cooperates with His Word and is skillful with it. Brother Hagin said it this way, when you work the Word, that's when it works for you. Praise God. You got to work the Word. And so the Lord told him, you've been going about it all the wrong way. He said, stop praying to me about money like you have been. Because obviously it's not working, or God's just not hearing him because he's broke. Amen? So are you ready for these? Here we go. The first thing the Lord told Brother Hagin to do to get the money you need, the supply you need on this earth, claim. How many of you know this would count for debts? This is how this church is going to get paid off, by the way. This is how Allegheny is going to get paid off. And someday I'm going to stand before you and say, it worked, I told you so. So many of you can say to me that when you started with me, I told you some things in your life, and I said, just watch it come to pass. And now I can look at you and say, told you so. It works. It works. It's going to happen. Praise God. The Lord told Brother Hagin, number one, claim the money you need. Now, oh boy, you hear that, name it and claim it, name it and claim it. He said, why are you praying to me for money? I don't have any money up here to give you. Everything you need is already on the earth. That's what he told him. He said, you have the authority down there. You claim the money you need. He said, why are you asking me? He's like, I'm not going to rain down $20 bills out of the sky. He said, and besides, if I did that, I'd be a counterfeiter. Isn't all the money accounted for that's not counterfeit in the world, in the United States? It's all got numbers and it's all been accounted for. And God said, if I start shelling out money from heaven, I'm a counterfeiter and I'm not a counterfeiter. He said, all the money you need is down there on the earth. Now go with me to Luke 6:38. Praise God. It's going to blow some of your minds today. Get rid of those doubt and unbelieving prayers you've been praying and start being skillful. Now, before I mention this, I do need to say this, and you'll hear this in the book later. Brother Hagin taught, and it was such balance. He said, when you get a revelation from God, don't just go preaching it. Prove it first. Well, I've proved it hundreds and hundreds of times before I even stepped in the pulpit to preach it. But now I preach it loud and proud. Why? Because I know this works. You say, how do we know it's God, though? Because there'll be scripture to back up every single point of this revelation. He said, claim the money you need. The money you need's on the earth. Well, look at Luke 6:38. Why would we be asking God for the money? God's not the one that's going to give us the money. Say, he's not? No, verse 38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall God give into your bosom. Did you catch that? Doesn't say that. Give, and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed together, rather, shaken up, running over, shall angels give into your bosom. Nope. The Bible says increase is going to come to you through the hands of men. Do you see that there? For you to increase, now pay attention to this, there needs to be a transfer of wealth from one human being to you, another human being. Why? How does he get the blessing into you? Given, it'll be given unto you. Now, I saw this revelation last night. He's talking about sowing and reaping there, and it comes forth, and we're going to teach you then how then, when we sow and reap and get the blessings to come forth, how do we get it into our hands? Because the Bible says that men, everybody say men will give into your bosom, not God. And so Brother Hagin was praying to God, I need this amount of money. And finally the Lord said, stop it. You're doing this wrong. I can't work unless you work my word. Stop praying about money. Claim the money you need. Because everything you need is already down there. And didn't God already say, I'll meet and supply all your needs? Why do you need to pray about something that he already told you was yours? Hey, they're not here today, but hey, Caleb, go ahead. Go outside and ride. You can go outside and ride your bike after lunch. He didn't need to come back to me and say, Dad, is it okay after lunch if I go outside and ride my bike? I already told you it was. Just go do it. Just take hold of that and just go do it. Well, he already told you I'll meet all your needs. He said, the money's down here. Claim what you need. He said, it's already his will to meet your needs. You don't have to ask him for it. But that's what people do. Oh, Lord, I need this. Oh, Lord. Well, what does Mark 11:23 say? Well, just for time's sake. You'll have what you say. 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 I used this example last night. Let's say your car breaks down. It's a $250 bill. You don't have the money. You don't go praying to God for $250. You don't have it. You know who has it? The men and women on the earth have your money. They do. Number one, claim the money you need. What does that look like? In the name of Jesus, I claim $250. Now let's balance out the critics of the name it and claim it. Name it and claim it only works when it's backed up by the Bible. You can name and claim anything that he already told you can have and you don't have to feel bad about it. Where the name it and claim it gets the wrong ideas, and I don't know, I've never preached it. The people I cling closely to never preached it, but they sure get criticized for preaching that we can just put a name on anything and claim anything we want. Kind of like this, you know, you're a guy and you're single and you're walking down the street, and across the street, you know, you see a pretty girl. You think, my goodness, I like the way she looks and I sure like to marry her. I'm going to name it and claim it because the Bible says I can have what I say. So I call her my wife. Well, that's not going to work. There's two people involved and wills involved. Now, if you're walking down the street, you're a single guy or single gal, and you see someone of the opposite sex, and they catch your fancy, and the Lord says, wow! That's your spouse. Guess what you can do? Claim that and say, I will marry that person. I don't go telling them that. I like how Pastor Michael Laketic, Pastor Nancy was told long before that was her husband. She didn't go running up to him and say, hey, I just want you to know. No, don't do that. You know, it's like you're driving down the road and you see a house you want and there's a family already up. But man, I like that house. God said I can have what I say. That house is mine. I claim that house. That's excess it in the ditch on name and claim it. You drive down the house and someone else is living in it and God says, that's your future home. Guess what? Get your faith on it. Don't go knocking on their door and say, hey, just want you to know your days are numbered here. Don't do that. You know what I'm saying? There's a balance to this. And I love all the critics and the loudmouths. They don't ever come sit down with me. They don't ever come to my services. They just like to run their mouth because they're motivated by the wrong spirit. That's what it is. Praise God. The devil loves to talk. So number one, claim the money you need. It's down here. Now number two, are you ready? Claim the money you need. Brother Hagin was told by Jesus, the second thing you need to do, tell Satan to take his hands off your money. So does Satan have his hands on my money? He sure does. Now go with me to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 and I'll explain this. I'm so thankful for a man that was faithful to hear from heaven. And he talks about in his book how it was a controversial revelation because nobody had heard this before. Amen. And he trembled to even do it, trembled to even preach it. But he had scripture and he had to be faithful. I'm thankful he did because now I'm reaping the benefits of it. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world, now I've preached on this so many times. Religion will say the God of planet Earth is God, but it's not. God would be a capital G, not a small g. And God wouldn't blind people's minds so they'd go to hell. That's what the devil's doing in that verse. The devil's this God, the God of this world. Well, to fully understand that, you have to go back to the book of beginnings in Genesis. To get a grasp on why you need to tell the devil to take his hands off your money. Now, we don't have time to look there, but if you remember, and I'm not lying to you, not steering you wrong, God told Adam, he said, I give you authority. I give you dominion. Now notice what he said. Over all the works of my hands. So God said, whatever's on planet Earth, he dropped him in a garden of abundance, didn't he? He said, you have the keys to this planet. You have the authority or the dominion over all the works of my hand. Well, remember what was already here when God dropped Adam in the garden. The gold was already here. The silver was already here. The oil was already in the ground. The natural gas was already there. All the jewels and all that stuff was already on the earth when God created it. Why? It was the work of his hands. So guess what? Adam and Eve had dominion over all the gold, over all the silver, over all the gems, over all the precious natural resources that bring increase to people. Well, what happened in the garden? There was a transfer of power. Remember the Bible said that the devil came and deceived them, and it says in Romans, it gives us the revelation, it says that whoever you obey, you've become their servant. Well, the devil tricked Adam and Eve, and what did they do? They obeyed, and there was a transfer. Really, Adam was the god of planet Earth, wasn't he? God said, you have dominion, you are the ruler of planet Earth. He transferred it over the devil became the god of this world. Now, I want to prove it even further. Go to Luke chapter 4 and verse 5. Luke chapter 4 and verse 5. Hallelujah. Again, don't take my word for anything. Let's see what the Bible says. So what I'm telling you is that the devil has all control of the monetary system on planet Earth. All the wealth, all he has every right to have a grip and a hold on that, okay? Why? He's the god of planet Earth. Adam had the right to the grip over all of it. He gave it to the devil, so now the devil has the authority and dominion. That's why he's called God on this earth. Whatever's on this earth, he has legal right to be God over. Now thank God until Jesus came. Praise God. Turned it all around for us. But anyways, Luke chapter 4 and verse 5, look at this. This will show you. The devil took Jesus up to a high mountain. and showed him. So he saw some things. All the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, you have to understand, when you go up on a mountain, if you climb Mount Kilimanjaro and you get to the peak of that, you're going to see it far ways away. You're not going to see the kingdom in America. You're not going to see London and Britain and all places in Europe and different in the Asia. You're not going to see all that stuff. You're going to see as far as you can see. But he said he showed him all the kingdoms in a moment's time. Well, that was a spiritual vision. The devil can produce some spiritual things, folks. That's why you go back to the word on it. He shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, so he sees every kingdom on planet Earth at that time. And the devil said, verse 6, all this power I will give you. What's that? The authority over all those kingdoms. And the glory of them. Now, if you study the glory of those kingdoms, it talks about all the stuff that came with the kingdom. Well, think about the United States. The United States could be considered a kingdom, right? Not in the sense of like kings and queens, but a kingdom. And what does the United States have? A monetary system, a financial system. Well, within a kingdom, every kingdom, there's a monetary, financial type system. And the devil said, Jesus, I'll give all the power and the glory, everything that goes with them, which would include, when someone says you get America, you get America's debts, you get America's prosperity, you get all that is America. And so he's saying, I'll give it to you. And then look at this here. It says, for that, what? The glory and the power of those kingdoms is delivered unto me. Well, when was it delivered unto him? On a silver platter by Adam. It was Adam's. You got to go back to the book of beginnings and see. God put them in charge. They gave it to the devil. The devil became the god of this world. And now the devil says, it was given to me. Now you might think, yeah, but the devil's lying here. No. Remember the Bible says that Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted. That means he had to be tempted. He just didn't. Remember the Bible says he was in all points tempted as we were, but he never missed it. But there was a temptation to, wow, all the kings of the world. Why? He was flesh and blood as well. Amen. The natural fleshly man said, that looks pretty good. I want that. But he never gave in to that temptation. Hallelujah. Praise God. We'd be in trouble if he did. But what the devil's saying to him is, I'm in control. It was given to me. I'm in control of the money. Can I just, you can take this how you want, but I had a text message come in yesterday. And somebody was saying to me about how they can't stand the media in our country. And I agree. It is so slanted. It is so biased. It is so anti-God. The media is so anti-God. And when they said that to me, I thought to myself, I know, it's so true. It is so anti the principles of how the country was founded and you know, we're made to look like the crazy ones for what we believe. And we're tried to be talked into that we're unreasonable. And we're just sticking with the things of God. And the media will just come against us and bash us. Did you see the headline where they said that President Trump was seeking counsel from a tongue-talking pastor? Ooh! And they make it as, and you read the comments, and they make it from a slant of, see, he's a crazy one after all. He's going to a tongue-talking pastor. The greatest Christian ever bragged about how much he prayed in tongues. Jesus said you'll pray in tongues. But that's what I'm saying. The media presents it a certain way. And you know what, Lord? I'll just say this. I believe you showed me this. Again, if you can go with what your heart says, but I'm going to show scripture on it. Ephesians 2 and verse 2, it says that the devil is the prince. What's a prince? Someone in charge of the power of the air. So it says. Well, what is the media? The air waves. It's no doubt. It's not anything shocking for me to say. You don't have to be Brother Hagin to know. Something's influencing our media. Something's influencing the mainstream media and the things that they say and the things that they promote and the things that they're okay with. Why? Because the devil's behind it. Right. Amen. Why? He has a right to the airwaves. Why? It's on the earth. It's true. So he said, number one, claim the money you need. Remember, your car broke down, you need $250. In the name of Jesus, I claim $250. Why? He said he'd meet all your needs. He said, you'll have what you say. Claim it. Number two, now we know. I'm here to tell you, the devil has every right to hold your money back from you. Why? The money on the earth is in his control. It was given to him by Adam and Eve. He's the God of planet earth. But we know through Jesus that we have authority over the devil. Through Jesus, not our own. So you say to Satan, Satan, because he's got that money, you don't want to let that go. He wants to keep you in poverty. The devil is behind your lack. He wants you struggling. Amen? Yeah. He wants you struggling. In the name of Jesus, Satan, take your hands off my money, loose it, and let it go. How did Jesus and the apostles deal with the devil? They just used their authority. They spoke something to the enemy, and it changed, right? Remember in Luke 10, they came back and said, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us, not by us physically wrestling them down and using some might and force, are subject to us through your name. We use your name and the devils have to obey. Praise God. That's what we've been given. We've been given power of attorney to use Jesus' name. Well, when Jesus spoke to the devils, things changed. Satan, in the name of Jesus, you take your hands off my money. Now think about this. Luke 10 says, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Wouldn't one of the powers of the enemy be to withhold your blessings, to withhold your money, to withhold your increase, so you can't be a blessing to your family, you can't be a blessing to the house of God, the plan of God? That's one of his powers. Well, you've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. How do you use that authority? Through your words. You say, in the name of Jesus, devil, you take your hands off that money, you loose it, let it go. Now, when you're somebody that knows your authority and you have faith words coming out of your mouth, you know what happens in that instance? He drops that $250. He has to. The devils are subject to us through his name. We have authority. Now, I love when I get to preach my series on authority, because a lot of people have no idea the position they're in. And they let things trespass in their lives, and they don't realize you have authority. Do something about it. Until you do something about it, nothing's going to change. Amen. It's the truth. Satan, he has control of the monetary system on planet Earth. He has control of your money. He has every right to it. Until you speak up and use your authority, you tell him to loose it and let it go. Now, here's the problem. When you say, Satan, drop the money, it just stays there. Money doesn't have legs. Because why? We know how money gets transferred to us. Into your bosom through men. Somehow the money Satan drops now has to be transferred to you, and it's going to come through the form of a human being. Jobs and blessings and increase that way, promotions and things that mankind has control over. Now this is where it comes in to the angels. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Are you happy today? Amen. You should be. You got a pastor that loves you. You got a pastor that will tell you the truth. Praise God. Hebrews 1 and verse 13. Now let me show you something here that maybe you didn't know, but it's time to teach you. He says, but to which of the angels? He's asking a question. Which of the angels at any time has God ever said this? Angels, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. What's he saying? Sit at my right hand and you'll kick your feet up on your enemies. They'll be under your feet. He says, to which of the angels did he ever say that? You know what the answer is? Zero. Never said it to one angel. He never said to any angel, I'm going to seat you at my right hand and the enemies are going to be your footstool. Never said it to angels. But you know who he did say it to? He said it to Jesus. Remember, the Bible says Jesus has been raised far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, made to sit down at the right hand of the Father, above all those things of the devil. The devil is Jesus' footstool. Praise God. Not an angel. But guess who also is residing in that place of authority? Ephesians chapter 2, you need to read it. It says, you have been raised with Christ and made to be seated with him. Where's he at? The right hand of the Father. Where? kicking up on the devil. Kicking back on the devil. That's what he said. You've been raised with Christ and made to be seated with him in heavenly places. So you know who he told. And remember, he said, all things are under his feet and we're the body of Christ. So the devil is under our feet. We've been translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his son. The devil does not have authority over us. We have authority over him. But he's saying, to which of the angels did I ever give that to? The answer is none of them. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You are in such a better position than an angel has ever been. They are not redeemed beings. They are not beings that are seated at the right hand. They don't have what we have been given through the blood of Christ. They're good and they do good things. Now he's going to tell us what they do. He said, so I never put them in authority. I never saw it that way before, but I do now. He said, but you know who I did put in authority? My children. And when you're in authority, remember what? I love utterance. I just love it. Because I'm seeing things I never saw before. But in Matthew chapter 8, remember when the centurion came and said, my servant lies home sick of the palsy. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He said, no, you don't need to do that, Jesus. He said, I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. When I want another one to come, I say, come. When I say I need someone to do something, I don't make them do it. I just say, go do it. And because I'm in authority, they go. And he's saying to Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. You're in authority over sickness. Just tell it to go, Jesus. And he did, and it went. But what he's telling us here, to get verse 14 down and understand why verse 14 will work, you have to understand authority. Because he said, which of the angels I've made to sit down in authority? None of them. But who is in authority? You and I. Well, how do people use their authority? I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to this one, come, and he comes. I say to this one, do this, and he does it. I say to this one, do that, and he does it. That's how authority works. Remember, Jesus marveled at the centurion and said, wow, I've never seen such great faith, not even in Israel. So now go to 14. He says, I didn't do that for my angels, but this is what they are. He's saying, get something straight about what angels are. Are they not all, everybody say all, every single angel, are they not all ministering spirits? What do? Sent forth to minister for. Everybody say for. Not two, for. He said that angels, what they are, they're not in a place of authority, they're in a place of servant. A servant's place. Amen? I was going to say servanthood or servitude, and I didn't know which one was right, so I just said, I cut it off at servant. Because I didn't know which one to go with. I got a little confused in my brain there. But that's what they are. They're servants. They're in a place of a servant. He says, so this is what they do. They go and minister for people. Well, who do they minister for? Them that will be heirs of salvation. What's that mean? Receive the benefits of being born again. Guess who that is? You and I. The Bible says that angels are on the earth to minister for us. They're commissioned, or that big word I used yesterday, deployed in the slick text. You like that word. I know you like that word. He said, that impressed you. Man, my pastor's got a big vocabulary. I know you thought it. They've been deployed to planet earth for one purpose. All of them are here to minister for the Christian. Now think about it. When you have a servant at a restaurant, their job is to not pick what you want on the menu. Their job is to not just go and guess and tell the chef what you want. No. What do the servants do? What do the waiters and waitresses do? The servers do. They wait until you give them an order. When you give them an order, what do? They go and they make it happen. The angels are sent to minister for you. For you, they're waiting for your call. They're waiting for your command. Why? That's what people do in authority. They tell this one go and they go. They tell that one come and they come. They tell this one do this and they do that. Tell that one to do that and they do that. The angels are waiting to serve you. Praise God is right. We see all over in the Bible, and I'm going to give you some examples here in a second. Go with me to Psalms 103, verse 20. I never, I mean, I have worked this principle, it's worked, but I've never seen it in a revelation form like I got since the Holy Ghost meetings, and it's going to change everything. It's going to cause debts to be paid off. It's going to cause the unreasonable and the wicked for us to be delivered from them. It's going to cause things that are being held back to break through. You watch. We get angelic. You look at the angels and the power and the might that they come with. And they're just waiting. Give me an assignment. Give me an assignment. It's the truth. Psalms 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments. They do things. What? His commandments. Now look at this. Hearkening to the voice of His word. The third revelation that God told Brother Hagin, number one, claim it. Number two, Satan, take your hands off my money. But what did I tell you? The money's just sitting there now. Angels! In the name of Jesus! And I'm going to get it to according to this scripture here. Go forth and cause and influence that money to come to me. Now you say, what? It says He does, they do things, His commandments, hearken to the voice of His word. Is not claiming Philippians 4:19, your needs met and that money to come, is that not the word of God? When you claim that and do that, you know what the angels are doing? Obeying Philippians 4:19. They wait for the commands of the word. Father, you said in your word I could be delivered from unreasonable wicked people. Angels, go forth and influence the wicked and the unreasonable. Now, before you get too critical, let me say something. The devil doesn't do everything on the earth. The devil has a staff, I guess you'd say, of demons, right? We see it in the word. It wasn't always the manifested presence of the devil, but it was some of his demons that would possess and influence. Would you agree, and we can show it in Scripture over and over again, and we can see it in our own lives with people and certain things, and talked about in the media, would you agree that the devil can influence human beings? Oh, that's absolutely, that's common. It's normal. That's not jumping out on a ledge saying something. We see it all over the Word. The devil can influence people. Well, if the devil can have influence on the earth, is God going to leave us with any less? If the devil can influence human beings, and they're in the spirit realm, the demons are just fallen angels. If you didn't know that. Did you know that? If you didn't, you do now. The devil took a whole bunch of them when he fell. How stupid they listened to him. The demons are fallen angels. They're spirit beings here on earth to influence either good for angels, bad for the devil. But we would all agree, demons influence. Why can't angels influence? They absolutely can influence. We see that all through the Word as well. So when you say, because it's got to come through men, right? So the angels need to now influence mankind to get that money into your hands. How's that come through? Being influenced that you're the one that's going to get the promotion. Being influenced that the blessing is going to come to you. Being influenced in a court case or something where the influence is going into the lawyers and the influence is going into the judge and you have supernatural favor. All this stuff. Just like the devil influences things to come against you, angels, if you'll put them to work, will influence things for the good. And the Lord taught Brother Hagin this. And he said, number one, claim the money you need because it's yours. You claim it. Number two, tell Satan to take his hands off it. He has to drop it. Number three, angels, go forth. Ministering spirits, and cause that money and influence that money to come to me. Praise God. Now, number four, I'm almost done here. I'm going to tell you a few stories as we close. Number four, he said, number one, claim it. Number two, Satan, take your hands off. Number three, tell the angels to go. Number four, when you think of it, when it comes back to your mind, just thank God for it. You don't have to repeat it again and again and again and again. Once you tell the angels to go, they're gone. But when it comes back to your mind of the money and the needs, faith would enter into thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer, not with repeating the same prayer over and over again. Continue in prayer with thanksgiving. What does that look like? Okay, do I have to go through all the steps again? No. Father, I thank you. The angels are on it. And I thank you. The increase is coming. You wake up the next day and it's right in your face. Father, I thank you. That's called faith. Amen? Praise God. Now, I want to tell you a few stories here. I want to read something in Brother Hagin's book. This is the book called How God Taught Me About Prosperity. It's a mini book. You can get it on iBooks for 99 cents. Is it all right if I read something to you here? He said, I will never forget it. The Lord said all this to me. This was the revelation he got that I just taught you. In the bedroom of the parsonage where I was praying. Now, he's not in the parsonage of the church he's pastoring. He's a guest minister in somebody else's parsonage. He says, He said, if you receive a revelation from God, prove it out first before you start preaching or teaching it. Don't proclaim it until you prove it's in line with the word and with experience. That's what I did with this controversial revelation concerning finances. I love that about him. It's got to be Bible. And I'll say this to you on top of that. If you're just going to walk out of here and start spouting off these four principles without getting it into your heart, because faith is of the heart. If you think you can just get it by being an echo mentally, well, Pastor said to do this. It's kind of like, he said you'll have what you say, so I don't believe for a lick that my money's going to come, but I'm saying it because I can have what I say. No, the Bible says you can have what you say, that you believe what you're saying. You got to get these principles in your heart. I didn't just hear it and say, hey, let's just start doing 1, 2, 3, 4 and just watching my money change. That's not how it works. Faith is how it works. Well, how do you get faith? Hearing and hearing. Get these in your heart. Go through 1, 2, 3, 4. Look at the scriptures. Get it in your heart till you know and you're convinced. And then when you open your mouth, it will be words of authority. Amen. He said, I left the parsonage and walked over to the church. My knees were actually shaking. I didn't know for sure if this would work or not. It was all new to me. Think about it. Brand new revelation. I had never heard anybody say anything like it. Yet I could see it because I had scripture for it. I remember standing on the platform in the empty church and picturing the little crowd of about 70. In fear and trembling, I said out loud, I claim $150 this week. Then I got pretty bold and said, Satan, you take your hands off my money. Then I imagined I could see all those ministering spirits there. And I said, go, ministering spirits, cause the money to come. Remember where the prophet was being attacked, just him and his servant, and there's a whole army. He says, don't worry, there's more with us than there is with them. He said, there's just you and I. What are you talking about? The Lord said, open his eyes that he may see, and on the mountainside were chariots of angels. If you only knew what was at your disposal, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! Angelic hosts just waiting to wait on you. Praise God. He said, I could see myself saying, go, ministering spirits, cause the money to come. I knew enough about faith to know that it was settled there. There was no use repeating it. So I walked out of the church and back to my room. The Lord had told me to now pray that way. I claimed $150 a week because I had figured up my budget for necessities to keep my family at home and me on the road, and it came to $150 a week. That barely got us by. I hadn't included one extra thing in that sum, not so much as a soft drink or a stick of chewing gum for myself. He said, I wasn't scraping the bottom of the barrel, I was under the barrel. This is where he was financially before God taught him about this. And the barrel was on top of me. He said, did you ever notice that you have more problems in the area of finances than any other? And I'm telling you as a pastor, it is the truth. People struggle more in the area of money. It is at the number one slot, and there is not even a close second of what people talk to me about. Not even close. And all the pastors I talked to are the same thing, and Brother Hagin said the same thing. Now listen to what he said, though. The devil will fight you harder here because he has more leverage in this area. Money is in the world, and he's the god of this world. And oh, how it can destroy people and hurt people and mess churches up, mess lives up. And that's what the devil likes to do. The church where I was holding the meeting was down in the oil fields of East Texas. Those oil fields were past their heyday. I had preached there 13 months earlier, so he's there 13 months earlier. While I was still pastoring my last church, and they paid me $114 for 2 weeks, and they thought that was big. So they paid him a year earlier $114 for 2 weeks, and now he needs $150 for 1 week at the same church. He said, I knew that if I suggested to the pastor that I was believing for $100 a week, he would say, it's going to take God to do that. And I knew if I was suggested to him that I would have to believe for $150 a week, he would say, God himself can't do that. Pastor knew his own church. Besides that, the pastor had pleaded with the people for 45 minutes. Picture this, a pastor pleading with the people. Who will give 5? Who will give 10? to the preacher when he was there a year earlier. That's what the pastor doing. Come on, who's going to give some money to him? 45 minutes that went on. And look at what he got. $57 a year before. That night I said, Pastor, don't make any special pull for money in these services. Just pass the plate and say, this is Brother Hagin's offering. Say as little about it as you can. The pastor said, well, Brother Hagin, it is our custom to take up a pledge offering. He protested. He said, well, I said, don't take up a pledge offering. Just please pass the plate. The pastor pleaded with him again. But Brother Hagin, if I just pass the plate without saying anything, you won't get anything. You won't get a quarter. He knew his church. And Brother Hagin replied, if I just get a quarter, you'll never hear me gripe about it. I'll just go my way with a quarter, and I'll know that I missed it. But I want to prove something. You just do what I tell you to do. He said, I got this revelation about the middle of the week. On Friday, the pastor asked me to stay longer because the meeting was going so well. I could only stay through next Wednesday night, however, because I had to go to another meeting in Alabama. I went back to the Lord and changed my request from $150 to $200. I claimed $200. Devil, take your hands off the money. Angels, go forth and cause it to come. When Wednesday night came, the pastor handed me, as is the end of the service, he's claiming $200, remember, at this church that took 45 minutes to get $57. When the Wednesday night came, the pastor handed me $240.15. That sounds like the God that's more than enough to me. He said, that beats anything I've ever seen. I don't know where in the world that money came from. Brother Hagin said, I replied, I understand it thoroughly. I tested this revelation again at my next meeting, claiming $150 a week. I counted 45 people in the morning worship service, including the pastor, his family, and myself. At the end of 3 weeks, I was, you know, remember, he's claiming $150 a week. At the end of 3 weeks, that'd be $350. I was given $750 plus a new set of tires for the used car I just bought. From then on, I purposely went to small country churches, even though I could have gone to bigger city churches. I'd get so much money, they'd be astounded. God's word works. Praise God. That's Brother Hagin's. Do you have time for a couple more stories? I know it's 11:37. I know that. But we have great nursery and children's church workers. They're okay with this right now. Amen? So you be okay with it. Glory to God. Just let me just get through this because it'll bless you. So Dr. Dufresne gets the revelation. And Dr. Dufresne tells about a story. Most of you have heard this story, but it's worth repeating because it talks to you about the ministry of angels. Dr. Dufresne was pastoring, and he had a building, and there was a lease. He had a lease in the building, and there was a payment due of $120,000 within a couple weeks. And Dr. Dufresne didn't have the money to pay it, and the guy that owned the building wanted Dr. Dufresne to default on the payment because the property was now worth more than when he first started the lease with him. So he wants him to default on it so he can take it back, sell it for a bigger price. So he's hoping he doesn't pay it. But if he does pay it, he's got to keep it going because it's a contract. But he doesn't have any money, and I love what Dr. Dufresne did. He's got $10,000 in his building fund account, and there was a pastor in town that was bad-mouthing him. I know what it's like! Amen! Bad-mouthing him and coming against Dr. Dufresne. And so Dr. Dufresne took the $10,000 that he had in his building fund. He said, $10,000's not going to do nothing for $120. I'm going to sew it into that pastor's church. And he did. And it zipped the mouth of that pastor. Stop talking bad about him. But he sowed a seed. Now remember, when you sow a seed, it springs up in harvest form, but harvest doesn't fall in your lap. It has to come through men. Amen? So he's getting down to the nitty-gritty, sowed the $10,000, and doesn't have the money. And an angel at some point in that time frame right around them, Dr. Frayne's in his hotel room and he hears the door open of his hotel room and hears the door click shut and he thinks, oh, the front desk must have messed up and also given somebody a key to the same room. So he expected to walk out and see humans. He walks out and there's two angels standing in his room and they say to him, we're here to straighten out your finances. Dr. Dufresne, well, okay. Sent them out. Why? They don't go on their own. Go straighten out my finances. They left. They hearkened to the word of the Lord. Well, the money, it's getting closer and closer and closer to the time, and they don't have $120,000. They're going to lose the building. And 100 businessmen in his church offered to loan him so they can be owners of the building. $1,200 to loan them the $120,000. And I'll tell you what, when you're in a situation like that and you might lose a church, you're just glad there's an opportunity to get the money. And so he's pondering that, which, by the way, is so backwards. Why in the world would 100 businessmen not just give their church $1,200? Why were they looking for influence? Why were they looking to be on the ownership of it? So backwards and wrong. And the Lord told Brother Hagin, Dr. Frey, do not take that money. You already have in trouble with one landlord, yet 100 of them. He said, don't do it. So he didn't do it. The money's nowhere to be found. Well, I don't remember exactly where Dr. Dufresne was, but he was somewhere with his lawyer. It might have been at the lawyer's office or church, I don't know, but the lawyer was there. And a man came in. Dr. Dufresne's in his office, and the lawyer comes in and said, there's a gentleman here, wants to talk to you. And he said, I don't want to deal with that today. The lawyer came back and said, no, I just talked to him. You need to meet with him. So he goes out, introduces himself, says, hi, I'm Dr. Dufresne. I know who you are. He said, and I don't like you very much. That's what the guy told him. He said, I don't like the way you preach. I don't like your ministry. I mean, just boldly. You say, do people really do that? Well, I came off the worship platform one time, and somebody said to me that the anointing just left the room when you started singing. That's what they said to me. I had another person when I came off the worship platform, and you wonder why I'm self-conscious about my singing. After worship, I greeted them, I loved them, I said, I hugged them. They said, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. Good to see you too. And he told Brother Dr. Frayne, I don't like you. I can't stand you. He said, I can't get past something. He said, there's been two men standing in my room imploring me to give you a check for $120,000, and they won't leave until I write the check. Well, what were they doing? Influencing. So he gives him the check for 120 grand. Continues the lease. Praise God. Well, then Dr. Dufresne in his church has a minister come in. And the minister's ministering, and he gets it over in the spirit. And he looks at somebody in the back row, and he says, you, sir, in the back row, come up here and obey God now. Well, the pastor of the church, Dr. Dufresne, is wondering, who's he talking to? He looks back and he sees it's the man that wrote the check for $120,000. And Dr. Dufresne starts telling the guest minister, not him, he already did. Don't talk to him, he already gave the money. And the minister, thank God, knew in his heart what to do, wasn't influenced by the natural, and said, no, the Holy Ghost told me to tell you, get up here and obey God now. So Dr. Dufresne, you know, is cowering in his seat thinking, oh man, he's going to be so angry with me. He just gave us $120,000. And the guy comes up, he says, now, sir, I want you to obey God. He said, in a couple weeks, give me a few weeks, he said, but I'm going to come back with you the money. I'm going to pay off your whole building. The men are back in my room. And they won't leave until I do this. And he did, and brought the money and paid it off. Now, one of the things that's so sweet about that story is Dr. Dufresne, so honest, he said, Lord, I was never believing for the building to be paid off. I was believing for the 120. But my faith wasn't on the building being paid off. Why did you do that? My faith wasn't there. And the Lord said, because you didn't compromise and you obeyed my voice and didn't take the money of those businessmen. He said, my word says to you, you do the word, you're blessed for just doing the word. Faithfulness and obedience will bring you blessings that you don't even need to put faith on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, we can't stop unless you hear. I mean, if you heard from Dr. Dufresne and Brother Hagin, what about me? Don't you want to know? Real quick, I could tell you story after story. How did Pastor Mike get his $2,000 every month paid off? This revelation. How did Pastor Mike get money for buildings and money to pay off debts and money for personal things when things happen in my life? Money for my home. How does Pastor Mike live every single month? This revelation. I've proved it over and over and over again. And one of the first times that it worked for me in such a grand fashion was back when I was struggling mightily, got saved, you know, and got... my dad was in a nursing home, and I needed a job that paid good money. I was in a different place now, and I needed increase, struggling financially. Got a hold of this revelation, said, this is what I need. Angels, you know, I claim it. I claim this salary. I claim this amount of money a month. Devil, take your hands off it, and angels, go forth. Well, the Lord directed me to the Jamestown Post Journal, and I looked at the classified ads, and it said after school coordinator. And it was above the salary that I asked for. It came with benefits, came with time off. It was like, I mean, for this guy who's quitting all these little jobs, you know, it was amazing to me to, is a, you know, for me it would be a real job, you know. And but it said in there, bachelor's degree required, master's degree preferred. Well, I just skipped right on that, past that ad, as much as it sounded good and I wanted it. And I don't have a bachelor's, I don't certainly don't have a master's. And the Holy Ghost said, go back and read that. I went back and read it again, read the same thing I just read. And he told me, clear as day in my heart, apply for that job. And I looked up to heaven, I said, can you not read? So I said to the Lord, I said, it says bachelor's and master's. I don't have either of those, Lord. He said, apply for the job. I knew I had to obey God, so I applied for the job. I was so nervous that the first question they were going to ask me is, can you not read? Because what's your qualifications? Here's my resume. It's not very big. In fact, if you want to know my true resume, 2 years ago, you know, I'm on the heels of quitting 26 jobs in 2 years. College after college, dropping out. That's who you're interviewing here today, folks. It's true. And so they had me back for like 3 interviews. And one of the people on the inside, they said, there's people here that are so more qualified than you, that have experience, that have the degrees. Said, but you're called back for a third interview. I get in the third interview, sit down, ask me some questions. And they said to you, this is exactly what they said to me. We have no idea why, but we want to hire you. I wonder if there were some men in their rooms influencing them as they laid there, telling them, he's your hire, he's your hire. Supernatural prosperity and increase. Why? The angels went forth. Just like the devil can influence people to do wrong to you, the angels can influence people to do right for you. And there was no natural earthly reason, no experience with children, no experience. I mean, it was just so God thing. And they said, we don't know why. Well, I know why. The angels. And I could tell you story after story of the supernatural deliverances and supernatural miracles. And guess what? It's available to you as well. I don't know about you, but when I first heard this, I got excited. I said, wow, things could be different. Supernatural help. I got it in my heart and I began to practice it. Amen. So I encourage you. You know, some of you don't take notes while I'm preaching. I'm not saying you should. I'm not much of a note taker when I preach, but I always go back. If you think you're going to remember all this and all the principles just in your head, you don't go back, you'll be sitting here in 2021, never took advantage of that revelation. And other people will say, man, Pastor Mike, that worked real good. Get it in your heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for patience for people. I know they're kind of trapped here. They can't really go anywhere, but thank you that they're put up with me, Father, and they come back every week. I'm not trying to preach the everlasting gospel or just get up here and jibber-jabber for time. I want to get some things across to people. Father, mighty men and women of God, starting with the man you gave the revelation to, proved it, worked it, preached it. Father, Pastor Scott Webb, who walks in prosperity, works this. The Durants, who walk in prosperity. All people, too, at one point that were like Brother Hagin, and they weren't just scraping the bottom, they were under the bottom, the barrel. Reverend Greer preaches this. Why? Because it works for him. Dr. Dufresne preached this. Why? Because it works for him. Pastor Nancy Dufresne still preaches this. Why? Because it works for him. My pastor preaches this. Why? Because it works for him. And Father, I'm up here boldly preaching this today because I know it will work for us. So I pray that each and every person would get a revelation. This would be branded in their spirits. I don't care what age you are, young or old, this is for you. This is for you. Praise God. And those that are on the outskirts looking in from disobedience, I pray that they'd realize they're only hurting themselves. The devil's not telling you not to tithe because he wants to help you. He's not telling you to not be generous because he's trying to help you. He's trying to keep you in a place of struggle, keep you in a place of lack. And Satan, you take your hands off those people. I pray for clarity, that their eyes with their understanding would be open, that they would see it like never before, that they would have a revelation of obedience in financial things that would springboard them and catapult them into prosperity like they've never seen before. And Father, it's only for the purpose to be a bigger blessing. So Lord, we thank you this morning. As I look around the room, I know we're all born again, but if you're listening online and you've not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He's the only way to heaven. John 14:6 says, I am the way. He's the only way. He said, if you call on my name, you'll be saved. It's simple. All you have to do is confess your belief in Him by simply saying, Lord, I do believe you're real. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. Doesn't mean you have to understand it all, but in your heart of hearts, the deepest recesses of your heart, you know He's real. Cry out to Him. Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again, and I ask you to come into my heart. Invite Him in, because He won't knock the door of your heart down to get in. He's a gentleman. Ask Him in, and He'll come in and reside in you and save you and give you eternity. God will become your Father, and all the blessings of His Word will be available to you. And if you pray that for the first time, and you cry out to Him, you send me an email or you give me a phone call, because it doesn't stop there. God wants you to learn His ways, His principles, to learn to be skillful with what He has said so you can partake of all that He said you could have. Can we stand up together and worship Him before we go? Thank Him that your finances are going to be different. Thank you for those deliverances. We got some commanding to do when we get out of here today. Praise God. Father, we thank you for supernatural help this morning. We thank you for your word. We give you all the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you at Wednesday at 6:30. You're dismissed.